Well, this morning I'm going to round up our messages over the last 2 months about living free. And we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And I'm reading out of the Voice because I loved how it put it. We're going to start at verse 9 and go through to verse 20. So quite a big chunk this morning that we're going to read from. But I just loved what these words said. So Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as we listen to your word, as I speak your word, that I will speak what is directly from you. God, anything that I've written down that you don't want me to say, I pray I'll gloss over it. Lord, I just pray that I will speak your words today. May your word be sharper than any double-edged sword. God, may it penetrate into our hearts and into our spirits. And God, may we be transformed because of what we hear this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, verse 9 of Colossians 1 says this: since the day we got this good news, this is Paul writing to the church in Colossae, we have not stopped praying for you. We ask, Father, may they clearly know your will and achieve the height and depth of spiritual wisdom and understanding. May their lives be a credit to you, Lord. And what's more, may they continue to delight you by doing every good work and growing in the true knowledge that comes from being so close to you. Strengthen them with your infinite power according to your glorious might, so that they will have everything they need to hold on and endure hardship patiently and joyfully. Thank you, Father, that as you have made us eligible to receive our portion of the inheritance given to all those set apart by the light, you have rescued us from dark powers and brought us safely into the kingdom of your Son, whom you love, and in whom we are redeemed and forgiven of our sins. He is the exact image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation, the eternal. This is talking about Jesus. It was by him that everything was created, the heavens, the earth, all things within and upon them, all things seen and unseen, thrones and dominions, spiritual powers and authorities. Every detail was crafted through his design by his own hands and for his purpose. He has always been. It is his hand that holds everything together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning of the first of those to be reborn from the dead, so that in every aspect, at every view, in everything, he is first. God was pleased that all his fullness should forever dwell in the Son, who, as predetermined by God, bled peace into the world by his death on the cross as God's means of reconciling himself, the whole creation, all things in heaven and all things on earth. Quite a few years ago, I was on holiday in Gran Canaria. And just before I went on holiday, I watched the film Speed. Anyone seen the film Speed? Very old film, I know. So most of those, you know, of us who are at least over 30 have seen it. Okay. And in the film Speed, I really enjoyed it, really liked it. But there's this one scene in the film Speed where everyone gets stuck in an elevator. Okay. And I went to Gran Canaria and was staying in this hotel and got in the elevator to go up to our room. And this elevator was really small. Now, one thing you need to know about me is that I'm quite claustrophobic. So even though I don't really, you know, do exercise that well, all right, I would rather walk upstairs than go in the lift, all right? But on this particular occasion, we decided to go in the lift. We got into this tiny lift, and it started going up, and all of a sudden, we were about two floors away from where we needed to be, and the whole thing stopped. And the doors didn't open like it stopped on a level, and there's me and the person that I was with, and then there is an older lady in the lift. And all of a sudden, I start freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to die. I've just watched Speed, okay? Who is there in the hotel that's about to blow up the lift, okay? And where is Keanu Reeves when you really need him, okay? So I'm kind of in this elevator thinking, I do not know what is going to happen here. And you know, we're trying to, you know when you're meant to press the button once to talk to the people who are going to come and rescue you? Well, I became a total ditzy girl, okay, and I'm pressing the button. I'm like, hello, hello. And then the person who was with me goes, you need to stop pressing the button and maybe they can answer. Because every time you press the button, it means they can't do anything. So I'm just like, get me out of here. And like, we were in there probably, no word of a lie, for 5 minutes. And it felt like I was in there for 3 days. Okay. And the panic set in partly because I just watched Speed, but also partly because I was trapped in this small space did not know how to get out, did not know what I was going to do next, did not know if the lift was going to plummet, okay, and the whole thing was going to blow up. I was a little bit of a drama queen that day. It's not normally like me, okay, but when I get stuck in lifts, you never want to get stuck in the lift with me, okay, ever. All right, because I just go into panic mode because I hate being confined in any small space. Can't stand it. I'm claustrophobic. I don't like the feeling of being trapped. I don't like the feeling of being enclosed and confined. Yet this is what I found. In the physical, I hate that. But in the spiritual, I'll settle for that. A lot of the time in my spiritual life, I will settle for the feeling of confinement, the feeling of being trapped, the feeling of I don't know how to move forward. I'm living in this small space where actually God has given me a large place to live in. The Bible says that God sets our boundaries in pleasant places, yet sometimes I feel in God like I'm stuck in the lift. And like I can't get out, and I'm pressing the button sometimes, pressing it. I'm asking God to help me get out. And God's going, if you'll just slow down, then maybe I can help you. If you just stop pressing the panic button, Joe, because you're going to be okay. Okay? And I just want to really come to us today. You know, over the last 2 months, we've looked at how we live free. We have given you tools on how to live free, tools on how to be free to be united, tools on how to be free to forgive, how to be free to serve God, how to be free in so much, how to be free from darkness. We have given you tools week in, week out. And the message that I want to bring today is simply this. It's time to start using the tools you've been given. Put them to work and start to do what you've been hearing about. The book of James tells us this in the Bible. It says, don't just hear the word of God, but do it. Do it. And we have given you tools. And some of those tools are quite difficult sometimes to start and use. But we have given you tools, okay, to live a life of freedom. It's now up to you. It's now up to you to pick up those tools, however difficult that might be, however hard that might be, and begin to use them. It's time to start living by what we've been taught. You know, today's a very exciting day in the calendar of Joe Reed because today's the first day of Advent. It's officially Christmas. So all of you people that are bar humbug, okay, you've got to stop today because officially we're on the first day of Advent. It is Christmas, people. And in a month's time, it'll all be over. So some of you can breathe a sigh of relief. Okay, but we're on the first day of Advent, and at this time of year, we think of why Jesus came. Jesus came to buy you your freedom. Yeah. Jesus didn't just come to give us a good story over 2,000 years later. He came to buy you your freedom through his death on the cross. He came so he could make a way for you to have a relationship with God. He came for your freedom. He came to reconcile us to himself. Jesus came to love us and to be loved by us. You know, this morning, that's why he came. This morning, we're starting Advent. This morning, it's all going to be all festive, you know, in a while when we're, you know, up in the Christmas market in Louth and all of that kind of stuff's going on. It's all great, isn't it? But if we lose the reality of what it's all really about, we might as well just go and join the rest of the world in how they celebrate it. But actually today I want to tell you, Christmas is all about your freedom. It's all about living reconciled to God through what Jesus Christ did for us. Jesus came to love us, but to live free, the gospel has got to capture your heart, not just take up space in your head. If all the gospel is something that you might think about on a Sunday, if all the gospel is something you might just come and hear about on a Sunday in church, if all the gospel is to you is religion, okay, something needs to shift in you if you ever want to truly live free. The gospel needs to capture your heart. The gospel needs to become such a huge part of your life. The reason why Jesus came, the reason why Jesus died, the reason he did everything he did was for your freedom. And so to live bound, to live like you're in that lift, like you're in that trapped space, actually means that we neglect the power of the cross over our lives. We're actually saying God doesn't have the power to do what he says he can do. And this morning I want to tell you, God does have the power to do what he says he can do. He does have the power to bring your life into a spacious place, to bring your life into freedom, to bring your life into a place where you know what it is God has got for you. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look at just a few signs that there are that we're actually living free. Okay, so we take every tool that we've been given over the last 2 months, we begin to put it to work, we can begin to put into practice what we've been taught. And if you don't know, most of them are on the podcast. Okay, you can go and re-listen to it on how we live free. So three things, three signs this morning that show us we're living free. Number one, you are spirit-led, not circumstance-led. When you live free in God, God's spirit leads you rather than the emotion of circumstance leading you. Now, it's very easy to sometimes, as a preacher, preach that. Okay, it's very easy to kind of let those words roll off your tongue. And I know that there are people in this room today who this year, circumstance has overwhelmed you. And I'm not saying circumstance doesn't matter. I'm not saying circumstance doesn't come into things. But what I am saying is when we truly live free in God, we will live with God coming first and guiding us through those circumstances, however difficult they might be. Because freedom for us is a state of spirit, not a state of circumstance. It's a state of our spirit. It's a state of who we are in God. It's not always a state of everything is going rosy, because we know that it doesn't all of the time. And during our Christmas event, we're going to be looking at the fact that when Jesus came, he came to bring the message that all is well, even when it's not. Because we all face those times, don't we, where it's not all well, it's not all happy, it's not all great. And when we're in the middle of that journey, to live free in the middle of that means we come to God and say, okay, God, this is the circumstance, but I believe you above and beyond this. However this works out, I believe you above and beyond it. Freedom is something that every day we have to choose. Every day we have to decide to walk in. Every day we have to pick up those tools again and get back to work on the freedom that we want to live in. We have to learn to walk in step with God's spirit and not just with our own agenda and with what we think should happen. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are your circumstances telling you today? If you look at your circumstances outside of God, what are they telling you? What are your circumstances screaming and shouting at you? And then the second question I want to ask you is God's spirit telling you the same thing? Or does he want to tell you something different than what your circumstances are saying? So just a little bit of a thing from my week. We've had a crazy couple of weeks, really. And it's just life. It's just circumstance. And so this week, it got to Wednesday night, and I knew Matt would have to go to the doctors on Thursday, and if the foot wasn't any better, we'd been told he'd probably be admitted to hospital. And so Thursday, I was like, God, what do I do? Because my circumstance says I should be with Matt, but I've got a job to do, and I've got a church to run, and there's two kids at home who still need to go to school and all of that. And God said, you go with Matt, and you just tell the guys, really sorry, I'm not going to be in. So what my circumstance was saying and what God was saying matched up. Days like that are great, aren't they? And we have a great church council. And I just messaged them. I said, guys, this is what's happening. I just want to let you know I'm not going to be around Thursday. Just really feel I should stay home with math. And we ended up at A&E for 4 hours. And 18 doctors later, they still don't know what's wrong with him. Okay? But they know what's not wrong with him. So I suppose we've moved forward a step, really. And he's a bit of a medical mystery, my husband. So that was Thursday. God and my circumstances and how I was feeling matched up. So let's fast forward to last night. So we have been at a party here in the afternoon, got Oliver home. Caitlin's already poorly. Matt's still got his foot up. Okay, and all of a sudden, without getting too into detail, I heard this splash on the floor. I thought, that's not juice being spilt. Okay, and Ollie's just stood there going, Oliver's very rarely sick, right? And so I'm like, okay, let's get that. I had a church council meeting last night. Let's get this cleaned up. And Caitlin has a bit of a sick phobia. It was all going on in our house. And I got home from church council last night. I'd got the backup, okay, and all of that kind of stuff. I got home from church council. And My circumstances and my emotion were saying, do not go to church in the morning. That's what they were saying. Okay, your preach isn't finished. Okay, you're absolutely shattered. Do not go tomorrow. And I decided to sit down and ask God what he thought. So I sat down and said, okay, God, I'm asking, no, you go, I'll be all right, as he hobbles into the kitchen and all of that kind of stuff. I'll be fine with the two sick kids, no problem. And there are times that for me, being a mum comes before everything. Absolutely everything. And I prayed last night, and as I prayed, God began to just inspire me for this morning. And I knew that God wasn't matching up with circumstance. So I had a choice that I had to make at that point. God or circumstance? Doesn't always make sense. It's not always an easy decision to make. It's your emotions and how I feel as a mum versus what I feel God is saying to me. And I knew that if Liz brought a word this morning, it would be absolutely phenomenal. I knew James had stepped in because I'd totally forgotten I was leading worship. And so he just stepped into that role. It was all okay. Yet something niggled inside of me. Because God and circumstance don't always meet up. And don't always go the same way. But when you live free, you're spirit-led, not circumstance-led. And you listen to the voice of God. When you live free, you live by the Spirit. Verse 17 of Colossians 1 says this, it is his hand that holds everything together. Now, this is just what I felt God say to me last night. I'm sat on the sofa with the Avengers quilt, and Ollie's nicked the blanket, and and he's really not well, and God just said to me, Joe, it's me who holds it all together. It's not you. It's me who holds your family right now. It's me who holds the church. So actually, whether I'm at home or whether I'm at church, God is holding the other one. He's holding both of them. But sometimes I think we can get to the point as human beings, especially, excuse this, it's not a sexist comment, but especially us as women, where we think it's us that hold it all together. Where we think we've got to be there. We hold that family together. We have to be the one to do everything. And I had Matt saying, Joe, just go to church. I'm like, no, I have to be here. And then God began to speak and just say, Joe, I'm holding it. And sometimes you've just got to realize, and I really feel that this is a word for someone in here this morning, that whatever your it is, whatever your stuff is, whatever that thing is that you think you have got to hold together, do you know what? This morning, when you live free, you realize that God holds it together. He may give it to you to kind of join with him on that, but this morning, God's got you. He's holding it together. Everything this morning that you're worrying about, everything that you're stressing about, everything that, you know, you think you have got to do it all, he's holding it. He's holding it all. And this morning, if we're going to live free, sometimes we need to let him hold even the things that we think we should. And so this morning, I'm here knowing that God is holding everything together at 30 Eastfield Road. And if I was there, I'd be knowing that God was holding everything together here. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, you know, as we come to the end of this series, when you live free, you live in step with the Spirit, not always in step with your circumstance, but you know that God holds it all. Everything that you're going through, God is holding you and it, and he will come through for you. It's not always in the way that we want, but he will always come through. So the first thing this morning, a sign that you're living free is that you're walking in the Spirit, not just in your circumstance. Number two, a sign that you're living free is that you live in submission. You live totally in submission to God. You know, God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do it. I was stood in worship this morning going, God, whatever your plan is, I'll do it. I've had a thing over the last, going to go into being really honest with you. I've had a thing over the last few weeks where my prayer has been simply, God, just give me the joy of my calling again. Yeah. You know, just that joy that I had at 14 years old when I saw my life before me and I knew what you'd called me to. I knew at 14 years old what I was going to be doing for you. God, just give me the joy of that again. Because sometimes you can get bogged down with everything. Everyone ever found that? You know, and I know that things like what I'm doing right now is what I've been born to do. And I absolutely, absolutely love it. And then there are other times where I'm doing things thinking, God, they never told me in Bible college that I would be doing this. You know, they never told me that you know, it would all be admin and all of that. They never told me that, God. I might not have done it if they'd have told me. And sometimes you can get bogged down with everything. And sometimes you end up doing things that you never really thought that you wanted to do and all that. And I've been praying over the last few years, God, just give me that joy in my ministry again. Because when you've been doing it 25 years, you kind of go, yeah, it can become samey. And you know, that's been my prayer over this week. And we were sat in our church council meeting last night, and God really spoke to me. And we were coming to the part of, we were doing our budget last night, okay? And you guys just need to pray for us with this, okay? And we were doing the budget, and it came to the part at the end where we were going to be talking about staff salaries. And God spoke to me, and I kind of cut in on the meeting. And God said to me, Joe, You let them off any conversation about this, and you just find the joy in your calling again, because it's not about it being a job that you do to earn a living. It's about it being a passion of your heart that you do because I've called you and I've told you to do it. And so we were in the church council last night. I said, guys, you don't even have to have the conversation because this is what's going to happen. Because yet again, and I've been in ministry a long time, yet again, I'm learning to submit to whatever God's got for me. Yet again, I'm learning to submit to the things that might be difficult sometimes. I'm learning to submit to the things I don't really want to do. I'm learning to submit again to the call of God that is on my life. And I want to say to you, if you're going to live free, you need to live submitted. You need to live with joy in what you're doing. Verse 11 says this, strengthen them with your infinite power according to your glorious might so that they will have everything they need to hold on and endure hardship patiently and joyfully. Do you know what? Sometimes in those tough seasons, we have to live submitted if we're going to live free. And you don't always think of the two going hand in hand, really, do you? Because you kind of think submission, someone else is calling the shots. Well, that's not me living free. But actually, there are so many oxymorons in the Bible where you think they don't go together, but they do. My freedom and my submission to God totally and utterly go hand in hand. And one without the other doesn't work. And so I want to say to us this morning, whatever it means, you need to live submitted. Even when God doesn't do what you think he should do, will you still follow? Even when God doesn't do what you have, you know, told him he needs to do. I don't know if you ever talk to God like that. Okay, just me then. All right. But even on those times when God doesn't do what you think he should do in the timing that you think he should do it, are you still willing to live submitted? My pastor, when I was growing up, used to tell me the easiest way to know the will of God is, are you doing the last thing he told you to? Because if he's not told you to do anything else, you're meant to be doing the last thing that he told you to do. The only way you'll get to live free is by living submitted to his will and to his way. And then thirdly, a sign that you're living free, and this for me is something that I can never get away from, is simply this. Number three, you know Jesus, you don't just know about him. You know Jesus. John 8:32 says this, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When it was saying you will know the truth, it's not saying this is a lie and this is the truth. So it's not saying, okay, you'll come to a circumstance and you'll know the difference between lies and truth. When it's talking about the truth there, you'll know the truth. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When you know Jesus, you will know Jesus and he will set you free. I want to say this morning that it's not just about knowing about God. So people know about God, it's about having a personal relationship with him. Because in my estimation, religion won't do anything for you, but relationship will set you free. Relationship with God will set you free. Knowledge is all well and good, But knowledge alone will not sustain you in the difficult moments. And knowledge about God is not going to keep you going in those times when it's hard. But revelation about him will. Relationship with him will. And this morning, you know you're living free when you know him, not just about him. I want to take a look at some characters in the Bible just for a few moments. What difference is there when you know Jesus, when you know God? The difference to Noah was that he built an ark. Now, if he only knew about God, he wouldn't have done that. But the Bible tells us that he used to walk with God. He knew God. He didn't just know about him. He knew him. So when God came to him and said, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. Now, Noah had never seen rain, so he had no idea what God was talking about. So when he said, I'm going to flood the earth, Noah, Noah's like, I don't know what you're saying, but carry on, Lord. Okay, it doesn't say that in the Bible. That's my kind of bit that I've put in there. Okay, and he says, so I want you to build an ark, or I want you to build a big boat. This is how you're to build it. And the fact that Noah knew God, not just about him, made him build the boat. The fact that David knew God caused him to fight Goliath. He didn't just know about him. You know, at that time, loads of people, the whole army knew about God. The whole of the Israelite army knew about God. Okay, all the fighting men, all the men who were dressed in the armor, who were ready for war, they all knew about God, but David knew God, and that was the difference. The difference was he'd spent all of his days out in fields looking after sheep, sat there worshiping God, praising God, getting to know God, that when this call came to go and fight the enemy of God, David was like, I'll go. You might come against me with the spear and with the sword, but I come against you in the name of God. I come against you with the God that I know, not just that I know about. And he defeated Goliath. Daniel knew God, so Daniel survived the lion's den. If he didn't know God, he just knew about him, he would have bowed down to the other images. Because you don't put your life on the line for something you know about. You put your life on the line for someone that you know. And Daniel survived the lion's den because he knew God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived the fiery furnace. Why? Because they knew God. Yeah. Not just about him, yeah. But the Bible says that when they looked into the fiery furnace, they saw a fourth person. Those guys knew God. They saw a fourth person in there. God was with them in the middle of the fire. Esther, when she went to the king, she won the favor of the king. Why? Because she knew God. She didn't just go because of someone that she'd heard about. She put her life on the line for a God that she loved and a God that she trusted. Peter, in the New Testament, started the church. He began to lead the thing called the church. Why? Because he knew Jesus. He didn't just know about him. He didn't just hear stories about him. He didn't just, read a Bible verse or two about him. He didn't just go to the synagogue and hear about him. He knew him personally. Yeah. And the Apostle Paul knew Jesus. He was on the road to Damascus. God knocked him off his donkey, blinded his eyes. He went to someone's house, and God began to speak to him. Paul knew God, which is why he planted so many churches. I want to say to you, when you know God, you do crazy stuff. When you know God, you do stuff that you never thought you could do. I bet Noah didn't know he could build a boat like that. He'd not been to boat building school. He'd not got an A-level in building boats. He'd not been to university and got a degree in building boats. He had, I don't know if he'd ever, banged a nail into wood before, but when God comes, when you know God and he comes and he tells you to do something, you do it. Might be crazy, it might be, everyone else might think you're crazy, but you still do it because knowing God gave these people the freedom to do the things that God asked them to. And I want to say to you this morning, you may have sat in our church for years, and actually still, it's more of a head knowledge than a heart knowledge. I want to say to you this morning, you'll never live free when it's all just contained up here. To live free, it's got to do the journey down into your heart. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to know God. Religion gives you knowledge, but relationship will give you freedom. And I'm not someone who just wants my head filled with knowledge. I want my life filled with freedom. I want to know how to use the tools that I've been given to live a life that is free. So today, it's time not to just hear the word. For some of you, it's time to do it. It's time to begin to live free. So very quickly, Just a few steps then to living free. Number one, pick up your Bible. Pick up your Bible, okay? And I'm a big believer in the paper version. I know that a lot of you are doing, you know, like the iPad thing, but I like writing over everything and scribbling everything and, you know, journal alongside it. I want you to really grab a hold of this. When God speaks, write it down. The Bible clearly tells us to do that in the book of Habakkuk. When God gives you revelation, write it down, because you're never going to run with revelation, because you're going to forget it if you don't write it down. So I want to say to you, pick up your Bible. Pick up your Bible. I sat this week and knew that I was kind of preaching this last thing on Colossians, and there wasn't really a verse put down for it, so I just picked up my Bible and read the whole way through the book of Colossians. This morning I want to say to you, if you want to live free, it's one of the first things that you need to do. Secondly, live in God's presence. Don't just be someone who gets in God's presence on a Sunday morning. Don't be a Sunday morning Christian. Be in God's presence. And that for you will be different to how it is for me. But find how you connect with God and do it on a daily basis. It's not enough to just come to church on a Sunday. If you want to really live free, this has got to be about knowing God and got to be about living well with him. And thirdly, if you want to start living free, put new practices into your life. You can't live free and not change. So if I want to go to a new level of freedom in God, there are going to be some things that I need to change in me to get there. What are those things in you that you need to change? What are those things in your life that are consuming your world right now? Maybe it's things that you're doing that you know God says, I don't like that. Maybe it's just habits you've got into. You know, negativity is a huge habit to get into. And if you're always going to be negative, you'll find you're never going to get freedom in God. Maybe you've got to put in some new practices into your life. Maybe you've got to decide to do things a different way. You know, if you only do what you've ever done, you'll always get what you've always had. Unless you begin to change something, you're never going to get anything new. So if you want to live in a different way, you're going to have to change a few things. And I don't know what they are for you. I know what they are for me. And I know what God's spoken into my life over the last few weeks and stuff. I know what it is for me. What is it for you? Because you'll all have something. You'll all have something that you need to change if you're ever going to live free. So there are steps that we can put in place to begin to live out what we have heard. But I want to finish with this morning. There are perks of living free. Okay? When you live free, you live lighter. I don't know about you, but there's enough stuff that are going to weigh heavy on me. That I just want to come to God and say, God, I just want to live light. Even in the midst of life happening, even in the middle of this week, God, I just want to live light. You know, if the Bible is true, it says that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So God, whatever I'm carrying right now that is of you is going to be light. When it begins to become heavy, when it begins to become hard work, God, I need some help here. I love the song that we were singing this morning, that God doesn't forsake us in our weakness. He actually comes and helps us in the middle of it. So when you live free, you will live light. When you live free, you will lead others to freedom. You can't lead anyone into freedom if you've never experienced it. You can live in freedom. And you can lead others to live the same way. Do you know, my prayer for 2017... for us as a church is that we will see people totally and utterly transformed, totally and utterly living free. Okay, but I know that I can't help someone with that until I am the same. Until I allow God to take me on that journey. And for me, over the last, you know, 10 years or so, God's really taken me on that journey of finding real freedom in him. And although I don't always thank him for every circumstance, because some of them have been tough, I thank him for the fact now that I can lead other people into that freedom. Because I did the journey. This morning, come on, Generations Church. Why don't we go on a journey? Whatever your circumstances have been, why don't we go on a journey of living free? Why don't we go on a journey of living light so that we can take other people on that journey as well? And then thirdly, when you live free, you'll fulfill your destiny. You'll fulfill everything that God's got for you. And I can honestly say, I've done this since I was 14 years old. That's a long time. That's all I need to say about that. Done it since I was 14 years old, and there's no other journey I would rather go on. There's no other life that I would rather live. And I've come in the last few weeks and gone, God, just give me back the joy of my call. And as God's done that, I can honestly stand and say to you, there's no other journey that I'd rather be on. There's no other life I'd rather live than the life that God's got for me. It's not always been easy, but I'll tell you something. When you learn how to live free, you will fulfill everything God has got for you. And so this morning, what are you going to do with what you've been given? With all the tools that we've given you in the last 2 months on how to do this life in freedom, what are you going to do with them? Are they going to become like a dusty note in your notebook if you take notes? Are they going to become something that you once heard one time? Because what happens when we don't take these things is we neglect the power of God in our lives. And we say things like, it's okay for them. God can do it in them, but God can't do it in me. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. So what are you going to do with what you've heard? Are you going to put it into practice? Or are you going to leave it for a little bit longer till you're in a better place? Can I tell you, if that's your answer, there'll never be that better place. It'll never come. Sometimes we just need to dive in and allow God to bring us that freedom. Because you know what? It's only bound people that need to be free. And so if we're bound in stuff this morning, until we decide to go on the journey of getting free, we'll always be bound in stuff. So there'll never be a different time, and there'll never be a different place. But this morning, what are you going to do with it? Let me remind you, God has got everything in his hands. It tells us that in Colossians. Every circumstance, every worry, every fear, he's got it all. And he's holding it this morning. All you've got to do is make the decision.